Log Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few black radio networks that explore solutions to issues in the black community. Present Black Earth America. Our call-in number is 516-531-9540 for the people that listen by laptop. And press 1 if you have a comment or a question. The lineup, the weekly lineup, is Tuesday, Black Earth America, myself, Ken Jones. I'm your host. On Wednesday, we have The Cutting Edge with me, Sean. And on Thursday, we have Paul Harlem with Mr. Wayne A. Young. And Saturdays, we have Provocative Thought with Carlton Sneed. You must admit, black folks have suffered hundreds of events throughout centuries in this country. It had effect our attitudes, values, and treatment toward each other. There's a movement in the black community by artists using art in healing our communities because of the new Jim Crow laws, the post-traumatic slave syndrome. From the 9.18.9 studio gallery, we have a gentleman that wants to discuss arts and healing. But first, I'd like to thank Mr. and Mrs. Rogers for providing guests, monthly guests from her studio gallery to discuss arts in healing. With us tonight, we have Mr. Gilbert Horn Jr. Good evening, Mr. Horn. How are you? And welcome to Black Earth America.
Thank you for having me up on this platform. I'm doing well tonight. How are you?
Yes. I'll let you introduce you to my co-host, Nishan, who's hosts our own shows on Wednesday. Nishan, this is Mr. Horn.
Hello, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing good. How are you?
I am great.
That's
okay.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, let's start off. First, how can artists heal the black community? Or, better yet, the question should be, do the black community need healing and why?
Those are actually really good questions. I would start with the second one about the black community needing to heal and why. I strongly think that healing is really a part of our growth for what we're truly seeking in our community, which is to be unconditionally us without feeling the need of being, like, you know, attacked or projected upon, right? And so I feel like we have to heal a lot of the conditioning that's been placed into our community, whether that's, you know, self-hate or post-traumatic stress, you know, even just the you know, being a byproduct of an environment that essentially have programmed us to react in a certain type of way. I also feel like, you know, that's something we have to heal from as well. And we don't really get the safe places nor the safe environments to actually be able to do that. And so I feel like coming to the original question of art as a healing platform is providing that safe space, artists such as myself, to be able to heal without being able to have a physical place where I'm like, hey, this is where I have to do this at. I can still go to my sketchbook and still be able to have that therapeutic session without feeling the need of it being provided by somebody else, I should say. And so I think that that's where the power in art comes from, is you can create your own space within being able to do art. in order for you to heal, rather than depending upon somebody else to provide for you.
Hello? Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Kenny, can you hear us? Kenny.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and ask you. Does art force a person to forge a connection between their mind and their body?
I strongly believe so. I think that I've been able to get more into it myself as an individual, as well as, I guess, from a mental standpoint, and not allowing myself to physically react the way, but allowing myself to actually get that process of thinking before I react. And I feel like that alignment came from me being able to, do art and things like that, to, for me to express that vulnerability through art allowed me to heal in that type of way, to align my body with my mind.
Okay. Can art help with depression?
Yes, I believe so. The thing about art and why it's such a safe place to develop in everybody, truly, and this is from a personal experience, is that I used to work at a nonprofit in Michigan, which catered to using art as a therapy form. So these were individuals who have never picked up a pencil a day in their life. And just to see the way that it transformed them within, lifestyles that have been looked upon from, a general public. These are people that, are getting swept under the rug, basically, in their city. But yet art is allowing them an avenue for them to develop a reality that maybe they wouldn't have been able to achieve, or nobody would have been able to allow them to achieve, I should say. And so it's giving them that platform to where, okay, this person is might be homeless, but they got some funds coming in because they're selling art. Or this person struggles with schizophrenia, and they use art as a way to cope with some of the things that they might see. And or, in the sense of your question, in the sense of depression, where, somebody who might, be so depressed that they think about, suicidal thoughts or something like that, and then find out that, hey, they can sculpt clay to release that type of, mental tendency within their mind, or just to be able to understand and be aware that, hey, this exists, but how can I grow past this? Because some things are so traumatic that it's kind of hard for us to even allow it to leave, and sometimes we just have to, I guess, cope with it, right? Figure out a way to cope with it. And I think that art allows that for so many different factors that, it brings that healing into it over time, because it's non-destructive. Even if the technique can be destructive, the final piece of it and what it means is non-destructive.
So what you're saying, that art therapy can be used to treat mental health, which is a great thing. So so I wanted to know, explain how can art help with self-esteem?
Like, far as like confidence and allowing,
yes.
That's a tricky one, because it depends on the artist a lot of the times. And self esteem, to me personally, I think is something that has to be worked on within yourself. And I think the more that we understand ourselves, I think that you know, the self-esteem and confidence and things like that would naturally come, because then you're in your lane, you know, you're owning your individuality. But I think that, I guess, like, as art, you know, how that aligns and helps us as people and individuals to be able to heal and understand who we are, I think that that's what it will allow us to come, because it's non-dependent. You know, it's not, you're not depending upon something to give you this idea of self-esteem or this confidence. A lot of societal structure, I believe, is built on gratification from others. And I think that in art, you have that one-on-one connection where there isn't any, it's only you and that, right? It's only you and the art piece. It's only you and that communicative process until you allow other people to come in. And that's a freedom that a lot of people, especially people of color, don't really have. Like, we really feel projected upon most of the time, right? A lot of our thoughts is other people's thoughts, that how they feel about us rather than how we feel about our own selves. But in art, in doing art, in expressing art, and developing a technique that potentially become yours and ownership, in some cases for me, that was the first time that I ever felt I even owned anything, right, was that I knew that no matter where I went in my life, that I could do art. And that, to me, was at times the only thing that I had. And so, in the sense of self-esteem, I built my self-esteem off of that, not necessarily people liking my art or feeling that, you know, people had to like my art, but just the fact that I knew that this is what I could do at any point in time, at the drop of a dime. I could be like, yo, I want to do this, and I do it. I can get what's in my head out, and I own it. And I think that that's something that's powerful about it, and that's where I draw my self-esteem from, in my confidence.
Well, that's great. How long have you been an artist?
My entire life, really. That's what I would say. I started when I was six. And it's just kind of always been around me. Like, even one of my aunties, she was a singer. So whether it was, like, you know, art, I look at it all as art now. But I grew up where it's like, you know, a lot of music, but I gravitated more towards drawing, sketching, and I wanted to do, like, you know, Leonardo da Vinci. That was one of my idols growing up. But eventually I got away from even doing art that was remotely close to, like, you know, realism, and went completely into abstract. So that changes a lot. So I've transitioned artistically my whole entire life. Like, I've done poetry, I've done music, but I've always cycled back into, like, the visual arts of painting or drawing and sketching.
Okay, what can art do for people with addictions?
Ooh, that's a good question. I honestly do not believe that art, I don't know. It depends on how you view addiction. That's the thing about it, and what you're addicted to, I should say. But for me, I mean, I would say, I mean, I could be addicted to even, like, doing art in a sense, you know. But
right.
Over time, I think that, I don't know, addiction is something, I think it depends on how you define that. I truly should say. So I would say, if you can dig more into, like, the definition of addiction from.
Okay, I want to really know more. Like, say if it was a person with a drug addiction. Okay, because I know you had mentioned people with schizophrenia and, like, different mental illnesses and things like that. So I was wondering, what could art do for people who have a drug addiction, or, you know, they have, like, similar benefits or anything like that?
Right. What I've noticed is this is a very interesting discussion because drugs is such an interesting discussion. And at one point, you know, marijuana was considered a drug, right?
Right.
And we're just now getting to the point where it's socially acceptable. But, you know, even on the medicinal aspect, a lot of people look at it like, wow, you know, this is actually people who have never either, you know, smoked cannabis or done anything with cannabis before experienced it now because it's such a socially acceptable thing. And now because it is, people are realizing these certain effects, right? I'm not saying this for everybody.
Right.
Some people realize it's not for everybody, but there are some data that has stated that there's medicinal aspects to these. And I think that that's where essentially a lot of drugs come from, right? And in that aspect of there was some type of form of medicinal effects that people were gaining from this. So in the sense of what I've seen of art and addiction, it's purely just on the aspect of the art that's created and from this person that's under the influence. I mean, because I who am I to say that this person is addicted to something that they're choosing to do, you know? And so I think that that's kind of where I'm at in perceiving people, is that it's not up to me to change what somebody chooses to do or anything like that. But when it comes down to the art that they create, it helps me to understand maybe why they do the things that they do, you know? And so when I look at addiction, you know, I grew up, you know, with the belief that my father was an addict. Or I grew up with, you know, with the belief that, you know, somebody off my block, you know, that smoked weed was an addict. And so this terminology of addict can have like a perception that I feel like maybe divide the way that I can truly see somebody versus what they are choosing to do for something that ultimately may benefit them because they suffer from schizophrenia or because they, you know, because I don't know. I'm not in that person's shoes, so I can't determine, you know, what's an addict or who's an addict based off of what somebody else believes an addict is when you actually the ones who pumped our community with these drugs in the first place. You know, so I'm just looking at and observing the after effect of things that's already been done and choosing
right.
to be unconditional in the perspective of not trying to place labels or identities on anybody, because that's something that I'm trying to detach myself from, is I don't want anybody to look at me and be like, oh, that's Gil, he's an artist, and have this preconceived idea of what that even may be, right? But what I want them to do is look at me and be like, oh, yo, that's Gil, and then try to get to know me for who I am, because I'm only Gil, and you know, and what I express outwardly to people, I feel like is, or what I'm choosing to express to people, I feel like I want them to take me for that, and not what they feel like they're projected upon me from some type of, you know, term or idea that somebody else is telling them that this is what that is.
Your talent.
Sorry, was that?
Is art a skill or a talent?
Ooh, that's a good question. A lot of the questions tonight. These are awesome. It can be both, actually. Personally, I mean, because anybody can learn art. You know, like anybody can do it. Like that's the thing about
right.
it. Like, I mean, you could wake up tomorrow and pick up a paintbrush and realize, yo, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So you know, you can develop a skill in it over time, just like how I can, you know, I've never touched wood before, but I might go into carpentry and I can learn that skill of using the tools and techniques and things like that. You can most definitely do that in art. But there are talented individuals who, in some cases, present something different in the the realm of feel like is what creates the talent. When it's something that you come across and you're like, wow, like, okay, this person put together this differently than what occurred to the scene. And I feel like that's personally what I'm drawn to, are things that kind of challenge the traditional perspective of what I believe. And that's what I believe talent to be. But then again, mm-hmm. you know, it goes hand in hand in a way. Like, I think that skill can dive into talent in a way where once you learn enough skill to the point where you're able to, you know, manipulate the techniques in a way that you can develop your own talent, I think that's a possibility as well. As well as I think that people catch on to it earlier than some. Maybe out of you know, a heavy curiosity or interest to where they're like, hey, like, I'm really drawn to this. And then they're so tapped into it that they kind of cut the time that it takes for them to master their skill, you know, to the skill level of it. So I think that that's definitely a possibility, and we've seen that as well. So I think that it goes hand in hand. I think that, you know, a person can have a talent but not yet the skill, and I think that they can develop the skill, but you can see the talent early on. And then I also mm-hmm. feel like a person has a skill and develop the talent.
What is the link between art and power?
Power?
Yes.
I think it's our structure. We created the idea of power. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like in a sense of this hierarchy. Power is only what we, you know, we limit it to, in the sense of like, okay, if this person has a lot of money, obviously this whole structure has been built around that. So the person with the most money has the most power. But, you know, if you, which I feel like in art, it has been created as a luxury in a sense, which sadly enough is also a system, you know, to further keep, you know, certain funds and things in place and certain people wealthy, right?
Right.
But I feel like as we get into that realm, it's a system that we only know. We don't know anything different, so it's going to continue to be perpetuated. So I feel like in the sense of art and power, I think it comes down to you know, the idea of luxury. It's like if I was a millionaire and I you know, I buy this Gucci belt or something like that. Like, that becomes a luxury. That's something that holds some form of status in our, you know, social structure. So it's like, I think it became a status symbol. It became a status symbol over time, and I think that that's what's been generating this whole idea of the art world. I'm sorry, give me a second.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I just think that's the connection that I drive within, you know, it's a status quo. It's something that I feel like upholds power. That when you see it, if I own this painting by this artist that auctioned off at, you know, this amount of money, then essentially somebody come over to my house, they see that. And I'm not saying like that's the thinking of anybody, that's just my perception about it. I'm not a millionaire, so I wouldn't even know. But I think that it's connected with wealth in such a way that the way that we portray wealth is in a powerful aspect. It's like, this is what you have to do in order to be wealthy, or, you know, these ideas that we put around these structures. You know, and I just think that they're further perpetuated because it's all real.
Well, how does art improve people's quality of life?
Oh, multiple different ways. From my experience with art, it's actually helped me with, like I said, I mean, confidence, my esteem, my faith, my spirituality. I mean, even just things that I need to, that I feel like I need to understand about just life as a whole, I've been able to experience that through art. But also, you know, in the sense of being able to get art accessible in the hands of people who genuinely, like, accept it for what it is, because the idea of art, I feel like, shapes how people view it. And when there's things that you haven't experienced in art, then you have to find a way to relate it to potentially what you, you know, may want to know or try to understand it. But people who are genuine in accepting that and experiencing just art, and then further going to the extent of wanting to collect it, that's a whole game changer of life too, because, you know, now your work is connected with other people, and that's big to me. You know, that's, I think that's huge. So, so that's also helped. You know, I've been able to find myself in a position where art has provided the necessities and needs that I need and that I have in my life, and I think that that's amazing.
Okay. What does art communicate?
Mine specifically, or just what I've seen and what I got from it?
However you want to answer it.
Okay. Yeah, so mine specifically is I feel like I want it to project, like, you know, our perfection amongst our, like, imperfections. Like, a lot of my work dives into spirituality, so I definitely want that to always be a point to, you know, to get across in my work. Because sometimes I feel like it's easy to dive into only, like, this aspect of the mind and the body. But sometimes I feel like the way that the world is now, and what I feel, there's a lack of empathy amongst us. There's a lack of humanity that's happening. And I think that a lot of that deals with spirituality. And so I feel like I like to place that in my work as well, and how that correlates into the mind and the physical. So a lot of my work is psychology, really. I love to read. I love to study. And there was always other things that I wanted to get into outside of art. But, again, like, art has always just been that thing that's been that mountain in my life. So I've always cycled back to it. So the things that I've wanted to learn, I've tried to incorporate into my art in a way to further observe them, further study them, and portray them in a way that's outside of words that I can potentially understand as well. Essentially, my work is these, you know, pieces or papers or, you know, studies on life, essentially, that I feel like ultimately when I look at them, I'm able to, you know, reflect maybe something that I needed to learn at a point in my life, or something that I needed to understand that maybe I was even doing wrong, that now I'm looking at this and I'm realizing, like, oh, okay, I need to change that within myself. Because there's a lot of self-reflecting that comes in my work, particularly in that process. There's a lot of reflecting that happens through that vulnerability. And so I feel like in that time, in that space, I get a lot of, you know, revelations about myself. Like, wow, you know, I said that to this person years ago. Or, you know, my own karma, really, you know, and you have to face that. And I feel like art is unapologetic in that manner, where, you know, you make a mistake possibly, like, you know, it's forgiving. But at the same time, if you've already dedicated, you know, a week to this painting and you just happen to make the wrong mark, like, it might not feel forgiving at that point, but over time you realize that it is. So there's certain, you know, scenarios that art and doing art puts you through that you end up realizing are very parallel to reality. and it's so weird putting it in that manner. But that's kind of, you know, what happens in that space and time. And so during that, I personally get a lot of those thoughts and points I start to see coming out through my work. So whether it's a stencil I make that has a quote or something like that that maybe I wrote, or something about how I feel. Like, I'm very unapologetic in what I write in my sketchbook. So sometimes I translate that over into my art. So I might write a poem, or I might write like a, you know, a quote or something up in there, and to further express maybe how I feel in the sense of creating this piece. I think all of that comes out into it.
Okay, you mentioned a lack of humanity in society. Could you give me a few examples?
Just gun violence, one. I mean, just to really just put that out there, you know, because that's something that I'm strongly against. You know, I grew up, you know, where a lot of my friends, like, we wasn't really meant to make it past 18. A lot of them didn't. Like, one of my friends didn't make it past 18. He didn't make it to 21. And so in an environment where, you know, you constantly hearing about this, and I feel like it becomes so normalized that sometimes you just kind of marginalize it and push it off to the side. And for me, I've tried that. But then again, like I said, like, it's constantly coming back. You know, I can probably call one of my friends now, and I'm sure he can tell me, you know, somebody that maybe just got killed, or just the fact that, you know, it's in such a way that people are feeling the need that they have the audacity to take somebody else's life. Those are things that I feel like, you know, when you look at the deeper root of that behavior, you know, I think that is, if we understood more about ourselves on a spiritual level, or on a humane level, right, then these wouldn't be ideologies that we would be projecting amongst each other.
Okay, you mentioned spirituality. So explain art in spirituality. And what exactly do you believe in? Hello? Hello?